You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to NFL Live presented by Lexus. Lifelong dreams were realized last night, and boy, is it fun to watch that happen. You know what else is fun? Being all back together again. You see the fans here in Cleveland, having them as part of the draft, having them be able to take their picture with a tiny head on top of a Bears jersey. The Bears at Justin Fields. They trade up to get their quarterback. And tonight, once again, they'll take the stage. We get to do it all over again with rounds 2 and 3. Plenty of intrigue. We're back. That's right. Tense waits. Life-changing phone calls will be made. We can't wait for it to all happen. We welcome you here to Cleveland once
pick
again
up the phone,
for NFL Live. Yeah, pick up the phone. Marcus Spears, Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, I'm Laura Rutledge, and we've got a whole bunch of friends back there behind us, which we're thankful for as well. Hey, guys. We got Ryan Clark and Adam Schefter with us, too, throughout the show, and they'll be incorporated as we continue on. Let's get one thing that stuck out to everybody last night. Mina Kimes, you get to start.
Oh, so for me, it was Denver, a team I've been begging to take a quarterback, passing on one, instead drafting the corner, Patrick Surtain, the second out of Alabama. He is a great player, and that defense is going to be awesome. But if Justin Fields or Mac Jones goes on to have a solid NFL career, this could go down as one of the all-time draft mistakes.
Yeah, I love what the Detroit Lions did, drafting Penei Sewell. You get an anchor on your offensive line, a piece you can build around. I was in Dallas when they drafted Tyron Smith, and it started a run of having one of the most dominant offensive lines for the next 3 years. I think Penei Sewell will be a Hall of Famer. He'll anchor this Detroit Lions offensive line and may change the trajectory of this football team.
Now we're doing TV, Marcus, because what I hated was the reuniting of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. Do I love them? Do I want to see them go for 20 tubs again in a season? Yes, but they cannot go for 20 tubs if Joe Burrow is not upright. They should have drafted Penei Sewell, protected their franchise quarterback, and made sure he can get those footballs off.
Fly, Eagles, fly. I love what the Eagles did last night.
Think about it.
At 10, they get the guy in Devontae Smith that they really wanted at 6. They have the first-round pick still from next year. Devontae Smith, reminder, Heisman Trophy winner. He's the second-best receiver in this draft, but he's the best route runner. I loved what Philadelphia did. Mm.
Well, how about Philadelphia coming up and basically taking the player that the Giants liked an awful lot? But that left the Giants with a trade for Justin Fields because the Chicago Bears tried to come up to Philadelphia's spot. They wound up coming up to the New York Giants spot. They were determined to make a trade to go up to get Justin Fields. They get their man after moving up and sacrificing next year's first round pick for a quarterback that they loved and felt like they had to have. So Andy Dalton does come in. He's the starter, but I would say he's the starter for now. Nobody believes he's going to be the starter very long. Justin Fields is going to be ready to take over the Chicago Bears very soon.
Yeah, Adam, the Bears might have to do one of those tweets, QB1 with Justin Fields. Anyway, let's stick with the quarterbacks. The 49ers decide to go with Trey Lance at 3. This was the spot that we were all paying so much attention to. How did they come to that decision?
Well, here's the analogy that I would use for you. The 49ers were planning to propose to a certain woman. And then before they proposed, they fell in love with another woman and ran off with her and got married. The other woman that stepped into the scene late was Trey Lance, the North Dakota State quarterback. And I could tell over the weekend, they were going back and forth, flip-flopping between both players, really debating and weighing the merits of each one. And really, it was a philosophical approach. There were two different ways they could have gone about this. Mac Jones was the more traditional quarterback, but the truth of the matter is, Trey Lance, his psychological testing was off the charts. His leadership was off the charts. They considered him the smartest quarterback in the draft. And I think they felt that by playing in Kyle Shanahan's offense, they would be allowed to play 11-on-11 sandlot type football with plays that nobody in the league could duplicate. And ultimately, Mac Jones was the woman they were going to propose to. They fell in love with Trey Lance. They ran off with Trey Lance, and they're hoping to live happily ever after.
Oh, that analogy is so good. Adam Schefter with us for the rest of the show. As you see, 49ers fans here in Cleveland, they got the hands in the pockets because it's a little chilly here. Trey Lance actually told me yesterday he thinks he'll end up being the best quarterback in this class because of the work that he puts in, which his whole mantra in life has been know your worth. I think it's important to think about. Dan, you told us yesterday that Kyle Shanahan would have to choose between the past and the future in terms of style of play for his quarterback. He went with the future. What do you make of that decision?
Well, I think it's Trey Lance's job to lose now because of his intellect. I think Kyle Shanahan wanted a quarterback that he believed was as smart as you could be at the position. That's going to be Trey Lance. Now, the challenge for Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers is you have to develop Trey Lance, but also continue to be a superior play caller. Those two things, while they're attached, are different roles. Developing a quarterback is figuring out what the flaw is. Okay, let's attacking it. Let's figure out what he's really good at, and let's make sure we major in that, but also design plays and call plays that are gonna allow our offense to be as excel the way we want it to. And then it's gonna be, also, you gotta be on the burden of winning football games. Because I'm one who thinks Trey Lance needs to play. I don't think Trey Lance needs to sit for a year or two. He threw 318 passes in college. He needs to get reps. You can't get better at quarterback without playing it. So how do they develop him, which takes time, but also win football games with him on the field is going to be the biggest challenge for San Francisco.
Yeah, I agree he should play soon. And this morning when I woke up, I thought about Kyle Shanahan and how he is one of the most, maybe the most creative run game designer in the history of the sport. He is up there. Playing linebacker against the San Francisco 49ers is a nightmare because you never know who has the football. You never know if that fullback or that tight end is blocking or they're leaking out to catch a pass. He just added a 6'4" human snowplow into the mix, right? Like Trey Lance trucks linebackers. Every option run known to mankind is now on the table. And as he works Trey into the offense, gets him those reps, he can lean on his legs for that transition, Dan, and boy, they're going to be hard to stop.
So what you're saying is he thick-thighed like me.
He is.
Listen.
You got tree trunks.
I'm telling y'all, man, I'm with you. I'm with you on Trey Lance needing to play, but this also makes me feel like Jimmy Garoppolo has to play some games to start this season off until you feel fully comfortable handing off the reins. Now, I get it. Like, this dude went third overall. I'm with y'all. He plays right away. But here's the thing. We talked about Mac being ready. We talked about Trey Lance needing to develop. Developing on the fly in the NFL is difficult. And it just takes me back to Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. As great as Mahomes is, it had to be valuable for him to watch things operate and learn a little bit about this league and how things speed up and the timing in which you have to play. Now, what gives me pause is why I thought Mac Jones would never go third, because Trey Lance's athleticism can go beyond the learning curve. And that's why you take these type of guys early, because they can fight against some of those things necessary to be great quarterbacks from the pocket.
As Adam had continued to say, the gap just closed more and more on Trey Lance and Mac Jones. So it's really not a slight necessarily to Mac that he wasn't picked there. He ends up in a really good spot. We'll talk about Mac Jones and the fit with the Patriots later on in the show. But Ryan, when you think about how to choose a quarterback right now, so much of it comes into what's going to make your team better and how you look at that. What's your thoughts on this pick?
Well, you know, I came in to talk about the traits, right? The big arm, right? The physical running style, the body to absorb hits, and also the athleticism to get out of the pocket. But let's think about something. I watch this show all the time when I'm not on, and what did Dan continue to say about Mac Jones? He talked about his intellect. He said how much he could process. And so that was what you were going to have to trick yourself into loving if you were going to draft Mac Jones at three. Well, guess what happened? When you started to interview Trey Lance and when you got him on the board and you got him on the Zoom calls, you realized he was just as smart. So you didn't have to trick yourself into drafting the smart quarterback, because sometimes the athletic guy is not given that, right? We won't say the dude that can run fast and throw the ball far is also smart. Trey Lance ended that conversation, and now you can look to the big arm. You can look to drafting the traits and the different things that can allow you to do. Mina Kimes said something that was genius yesterday. One, she said, you know what? I am the smartest person on this show, but I have made two mistakes. Those mistakes
Those mistakes were about Josh Allen and Justin Herbert because I didn't look at the traits. Kyle Shanahan got the brilliant quarterback and he got the traits. Dude better play early because he has the stuff that legends can be made of.
His brain is why I think he should play early. I mean, over the athleticism. I think because he's smart enough. If you watch NFL Live, we've done multiple breakdowns of him owning the line of scrimmage, yes. changing protections, mm-hmm. seeing coverage rotations, watching safeties change where they are in hashes and delivering the football to replace them. So I think the brain is why he can play. But the burden is, because when winning is above everything, and that's what the NFL is, you do whatever it takes. You revert back to bad habits. You can't allow that and also develop. That is the challenge in San Francisco, and it's a real one.
You know, speaking of brains, I like that when Ryan gave Mina a compliment for being a genius, you barreled right in there so that Mina couldn't have her flowers.
I was looking at her like, you guys talking. She was like,
she was just basking in the glow.
Dan, you're a genius.
Bask in the glow.
No, that doesn't count.
That's don't lie to good. Him on national TV.
That doesn't count.
That was
count.
An important line out of you, Mina, count. For reasons that will
she
remain
got in on the
unsaid.
First block?
All right. Anyway, day one of the draft is in the books. So let's turn the page, look ahead to tonight with our draft analyst, Matt Miller. Matt, give me some players that are best available for you on the draft board.
Yeah, we saw 32 great players drafted last night, but there are a lot more who will come off the board tonight. And I think conversation has to start with TCU safety, Trevon Merrick, who I thought would be a first-round pick, rated as my number 14 overall player. This is the answer to modern NFL offenses. He can play the post safety. He can come down in the slot and cover up wide receivers. He can cover tight ends. He is a bigger Antoine Winfield Jr. type safety. We saw how great he was in the Super Bowl for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. After that, let's stay on defense with these hybrid players. Notre Dame's linebacker Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. I know some teams view him as a strong safety prospect, but he's a hybrid player. He could be your nickel backer. He could play a dime coverage. He's the type of defender that never comes off the field for you. So these are, in my opinion, defensive chess pieces that teams could draft here early in round two. And we had to talk about Christian Barmore, who we thought maybe would go right here to the Cleveland Browns last night. He's slipping in the draft. There have been reports about a bad pro day and then maybe being a little bit hard to coach. But I saw 8.5 sacks last year from Nick Saban's defense. Christian Barmore is the best defensive tackle in this class. We didn't have one go off the board last night. I think we have one go fairly early tonight. Barmore most likely will be that player. And when you look at the remaining players, guys, it is a lot of defense. We have edge rushers here. We've got defensive linemen. Probably my favorite player, though, in the top 10 remaining, Elijah Moore, the wide receiver from Ole Miss. These teams are looking for an explosive playmaker after the catch. Elijah Moore fits that mold perfectly.
I know for a fact Elijah Moore has got a chip on his shoulder about not being taken in round one. He's ready to be taken tonight.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
One of the biggest questions heading into round one of the draft was where would Ohio State quarterback Justin Fields end up? It turns out the Bears did something to infuse a ton of excitement in their fan base, trading up from 20 to 11 to grab Fields. Fields celebrated at home with his family in Georgia after he got the call. It was fun to see him have that moment. And here's a look at what it took for the Bears to trade up to get Justin Fields with the 11th overall pick. Chicago sent New York their first and fifth round picks this year and their first and fourth round picks next year. According to our analytics team, the picks the Giants received were worth almost double what they gave up. But Bears GM Ryan Pace had to take a big swing on the quarterback position. That's exactly what he did. Ryan Clark with us here. Ryan, you like what the Bears did to trade up and get themselves this quarterback after we really did feel like they had to do something in this class?
Listen, this is not about the Bears, guys. Let's take the organization out of it. It's about Ryan Pace. I love what Ryan Pace did. This was about self-preservation. Ryan Pace was sitting at home like, you know what? This might be my last draft
as Bears GM if I don't do something. And when you see someone like Justin Fields fall, that's when you make that type of move. You can't make that move for Mac Jones, right? For the quintessential pocket passer that we think we have to build things around. You do it for Justin Fields because of some of the things he can do with a magnificent skill set, the speed, the size, the arm. Now it's on Matt Nagy to use these things in the right way. I said this yesterday. It was Yodo for Ryan Pace. It was you only draft once, meaning he ain't got no more drafts to get it wrong, y'all. If this doesn't work out for Ryan Pace, next year when we are doing the draft, Ryan Pace will be sitting with us on the set talking about who will be picking, who will be drafting, because he will not be in Chicago.
How do you think
Yodo.
It is things, Yoda, right? Yoda. I disagree with you that it's Ryan Pace, though. Now, usually I'll talk to you guys on set, but I'm going to talk directly into the camera because I'm talking directly to Matt Nagy.
Wow. Whoa.
Okay? It is your job now to do for Justin Fields what you wouldn't, couldn't, or didn't for Mitch Trubisky. And I hate when coaches take young quarterbacks and they don't allow them to play to their strengths, right? Mitch Trubisky, now Justin's way more talented, but Mitch Trubisky was an athlete. And you didn't call enough run plays. You didn't design enough athletic movement plays to allow his feet to be a strength for his play and his offense. And then the second thing is you ask players to be something that they're not. Mitchell Trubisky was not a pocket passing quarterback. It is incumbent upon you to make sure that you don't ask Justin Fields, especially early on, to be a pocket passing quarterback. Will he grow into one? Absolutely. But it's your job to make sure that you sit there and look at yourself in the mirror and go, I learned from my past, and I'm not going to do it the way I did it with Mitchell Trubisky. If you do that, you've got a chance with Justin Fields because his talent is spectacular, but it is on the head coach.
Do I get to do that too? Can I?
Yeah,
do you have that zero? The camera, come
right
to
into
me.
The camera.
I didn't know
we were
allowed to do this. Okay. I would like to talk to Chicago Bears fans. Congratulations! If you had the most depressing situation in the NFL, I'm just going to say it. I would have been miserable as a Bears fan before last night. And now you've got hope. Dan is absolutely right about the fact that they need to make some adjustments on offense. But I would say this. The Bears actually have some decent skill players. Assuming Allen Robinson sticks around, yeah. Like Darnell Mooney.
Allen Robinson.
Obviously Singletary is nice as well. Montgomery, not Singletary. So, I do think they need to bolster the offensive line in the rest of the draft.
Yes.
That might be something I'd consider doing.
Yes.
But most importantly, you've got a quarterback. Because if you didn't have one going into this season, I don't see how Ryan Pace, as Ryan said, keeps his job. And we knew they made a run at Russell Wilson. Perhaps that should have given us a little bit of a teaser that they might be interested in Fields because there are some similarities in skill set there. I'm excited to watch Bears football. I'm excited to watch Bears football.
Say it out loud.
When was the last time you heard me say that?
Say it for the people in the back. You know, the good thing about you, Ryan, is you don't have another option with your camera. Like, you just look right into the camera no matter what. So already doing
hey,
it.
Hey, at all times, but if I was talking to the fans or if I was talking to Matt Nagy, nobody would listen to me anyway, so I'm not tripping. What I am going
to
say is for Justin Fields, though, this is your opportunity, right? You fell in the draft a little bit. The reasons are what they are, but here's the team that needs you. Here's Ryan Pace saying, you know what? We were excited that we had an opportunity to get him. And Dan is absolutely right. Matt Nagy, do the right thing. Put him in positions to succeed. Accentuate and highlight what he does well. Keep him out of bad positions.
Yes.
Because if you let him use his athleticism, if you let him use his arm, you can compete this year. You will have an opportunity to win games
year,
which might give you an opportunity to draft again next year. Justin Fields has things to prove. So does Matt Nagy. Why don't y'all just do it together?
And I'd say three things. First of all, he should take the first snap of the season, okay? He should be your starting quarterback from day one. You talked about the offensive line, Mina. The athleticism is going to help minimize that a little bit. And I don't think any of us are saying that he's not capable of being really good from the pocket. What we're saying is he's such a special athlete, you allow him to play outside the
pocket
a bunch.
Frankly, Ohio State should have done more.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So while you can do drop-back game, no doubt, he becomes the 11th pick overall, a franchise-changing quarterback, when you go, you're a special athlete, and I'm going to make sure that I allow you to utilize that every single snap.
Yeah, you know, when Ryan said Yodo, for a second I thought he meant Yoda, and
Baby
I was
Yoda?
Trying to figure out how Yoda related to the Bears and Justin Fields. All right, the star of last night, Mel Kiper Jr., well-rested, looking fresh, ready to do it over again tonight. Mel, we want to fly through some topics with you. Are you ready?
Sure. I'm ready, Laura.
All right. So what was the biggest steal in round one for you, Mel?
Laura, you know how much I love DeVonta Smith, and I think to get him where they did, to reunite him with his quarterback, this is a kid's going to come in again with a chip. People are still doubting him, saying he's too small, he's too thin, he's too lean, he doesn't weigh enough. I think when he's catching touchdown passes, nobody's going to care about what he weighs once he's in the NFL. Love the move to get DeVonta Smith. I think he was one of the steals of round one. I think the kid, like I say, he's always been challenged, and he is once again going into the NFL.
He rises to every challenge. Give us the best college reunion, Mel.
Yeah, I'm going to go, Laura, with Tua to Waddle. Waddle, to me, is so competitive, and I think the reason I would give him an edge, he's going to provide field position for Tua, and his punt return skills are incredible, and his ability to make those long-distance touchdown receptions, those coast-to-coast receptions, is remarkable. Before he got hurt, he was lighting it up, and then he comes back limping, and he still catches three passes. So this kid, ultra-competitive, with Brian Flores is kind of building that culture in Miami, and for Tua, expect the arm strength for Tua to be better this year than it was last year. Now he's a couple years removed from that hip surgery.
Mel, I know you love trades. What was the best trade last night?
Justin Fields, Chicago. I can't believe he slid as far as he did. And I'm going to use the word slide because I thought he should go in the top 3 to 4 overall. But I think you look at Justin Fields in Chicago. Yeah, will they force him to be the guy right away? Will Andy Dalton be the guy for a few games? Interesting to see how Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace handle this situation. But they're in a division where if they handle Justin Fields properly, with Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packer days more very limited, you could have the best quarterback in this division in the not-too-distant future.
What was the biggest reach of round one?
I'm going to go to my good friend John Gruden and my good friend Mike Mayock and say, you know, again, they do this to us, Laura, every year. They did it with Cleveland Farrell. They got picking him very early, and they did it with Damon Arnett last year, cornerback from Ohio State. They did it again with Alex Leatherwood. He's not a left tackle. They don't need him to be a left tackle, are they? They have Colton Miller there, but they need him to be an outstanding right tackle or guard. He's shown he can be a guard at Alabama and do a decent job, but I would have traded back. Now, John will say, no, my phone wasn't ringing. I can't trade back. I would have gotten anything I could to move back or waited until the second round to see if he was still there or get another guard who was equally as good in round two and fill a hole on the defensive side.
Give us a player to watch tonight, Mel, in rounds two and three.
Laura, this will be the 17th time I mentioned his name. 16 times last night, I think.
I know where you're going.
It's Elijah Moore. You know where I'm going. Elijah Moore, the duer. I mean, talk about a diminutive dynamo. I called him last night. He can play slot. He could also play outside. He can be a great punt returner. All he does is catch passes, and he catches the short passes, and he turns them into long gainers potentially in the NFL. And he'll be a guy, a main attraction. He'll be a guy quarterback wherever he goes, loves. I expect his name to be called very early, Laura, in round two. Starting tonight.
Mel is back next hour with us alongside Todd McShay and Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. That's going to be a whole lot of fun. Stay tuned, Mel. We'll see you then.
Thanks, Laura.
All right, so the big news, the blockbuster from yesterday, right ahead of the draft, Adam Schefter's report that Aaron Rodgers wants out of Green Bay. The Packers end up drafting cornerback Eric Stokes with their 29th pick. So what does Aaron Rodgers think about that? Again, a defensive pick, and that means now the Packers' last 10 first-rounders have been 9 defensive players and Jordan Love. So Adam Schefter with us now. What do we know about how Aaron Rodgers may have received this pick, Adam?
Laura, I don't think Aaron Rodgers cares about who the Green Bay Packers picked last night, to be perfectly frank. I think he's made up his mind. I think he's dug in right now, and they could pick whoever he wants. In his mind, I don't think he thinks he's going to be there this season. Now, again, we'll see how this shakes out in the coming days and weeks. We've heard the Packers come out and say they're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. I have had other teams who are basically inquiring, doing some work on Aaron Rodgers. But the people that I've spoken to have said that he has said that he's not going to be there. Now, again, that'll be a decision that he makes. But you heard the Packers general manager, Brian Gutekunst himself, say that this has been going on for some time and it will take more time to solve because they know they have a major issue on their hands and they don't know how or if they can bring him back to Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers seems to be fairly entrenched in his stance. We know the type of mindset that he has. He still hasn't forgotten all the teams that bypassed him in the draft, the 23 teams in front of the Packers. And from the sounds of it, he is dug in. Now, we'll see if he softens up as training camp gets closer. We'll see if the Green Bay Packers waver off their stance of saying that they will not trade him. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think Aaron Rodgers cared one bit who the Green Bay Packers drafted last night.
I mean, it's just fascinating if you think about it that way. And I got to tell you, as we have some Packers fans around here yesterday, as this news broke around this time, maybe a little earlier than this, you saw a lot of sad Packers fans trying to figure out what under the sun is going on with their team. And to Adam's point, we don't even really know yet. So, Marcus, you heard what Adam said about it. Aaron Rodgers didn't even care who they drafted. But are you okay with the Packers not getting Rodgers an offensive weapon?
Well, I could tell the Packers fans, y'all better get ready to see Jordan Love. That's number one. Here's the thing. I don't have a problem with it. And the reason why I don't have a problem with it is because the notion that the Green Bay Packers are so deficient offensively blows my mind. Now, obviously, Aaron Rodgers being the quarterback helps that tremendously, but I didn't see a team against Tampa Bay that was outmatched because of that quarterback. So, yeah, in the grand scheme of things, if that's what Aaron thought you needed to make him happy, maybe you give some recourse to that. But I also remember Chris Godwin crossing the field, wide open and scoring touchdowns. I also remember us talking about Green Bay's defense being the part that would keep them from winning the Super Bowl more so than what we saw from offense. So, look, Aaron Rodgers has a lot to do with the success of the Green Bay Packers. That's an obvious statement. But to go into this, to have this idea that the Green Bay Packers are so bad offensively and deficient of talent is asinine to me.
Yeah, we ain't talking about last year, though, bro. We're talking about the draft pick last night. So, like, extend an olive branch if you're Green Bay. Like, if they took a receiver last night or an offensive lineman, would any of us have said not an issue of need? Both are justifiable positions that the Packers could have drafted and at least tried to extend an olive branch to go, we got to try and fix this. Because you can't take another defensive player in the first round and then come out in a press conference and go, we're going to do everything we can to fix this relationship. No, you're not. Because you could have taken Elijah Moore and gone, well, it fits a need for us. Aaron, let's talk. We got to try and fix this because we haven't done the relationship between you and Jordan Love. We haven't handled it well because this pick, again, is about the future. You said it today, big fella. It's a developmental corner. So we got a developmental quarterback, a developmental tailback, and a developmental corner. Come on, man. This ain't about the defense last year. This is about what happened last night. And they had the chance to try and make something at least – start a conversation, and they didn't again.
Do you
okay,
think,
well, I mean, the defense last year matters because ostensibly Aaron Rodgers' goal is to get to the Super Bowl, and Marcus is 100% correct in pointing out defense, in particular, cornerback, was the primary reason why they didn't get to the Super Bowl, and this was an issue over the course of the season.
Sure.
Okay, this is from Next Gen Stats. This is how opposing wide receivers performed against Jair Alexander, who was all world.
Right.
And all of the other cornerbacks in Green Bay. They did bring back Kevin King, who struggled so much in that final game on a short-term contract. But cornerback was a bigger need for Green Bay. That said, and this is where, unfortunately, Marcus, I'm going to swing back to Dalowski's side.
She's coming back.
Just because cornerback was a bigger need doesn't mean context doesn't matter. And the context of Aaron Rodgers trying to push his way out suggests that they would have been served by catering to another need, which is wide receiver. And frankly, this pick makes me wonder if Green Bay
knows
that's
that
what
it's
I'm
over,
thinking,
right?
Marcus, and that they are working towards the future.
There's no debate.
Yeah, Marcus, you're taking a nap over there. I don't blame you, but like, he's back. What? You went really far.
I kind of came back towards you. Back. I don't know if you caught the end part where I said Green Bay knows.
But, like, yeah, do they know? Is that what really motivated this pick? Picking a defensive guy that they do need instead of somebody for Aaron Rodgers.
Green Bay is motivated to draft a guy that they think helps this team win. Like, I get it. You can have a problem. You can have a problem with the player and don't think he's ready. Bro, we watched Green Bay all last year. Did any of us talk about a deficiency offensively?
No.
They had
nobody.
The best offense in the NFL.
Right.
Like, but that's my point. We all said that if Green Bay doesn't win a Super Bowl, it's because of their defense.
Right.
So they draft a defensive guy. Now, I have no problem if you think Eric Stokes is not the pick. I thought Tyson Campbell was a more polished cornerback,
actually,
more than Eric Stokes. But the bottom line is this, bro. Green Bay has drafted defense because they've had 12.
Here's the thing. It's pointless to argue about this pick because the reason Aaron Rodgers wants to leave is not because of this pick.
Right,
it's what happened last year.
No doubt.
And they can't change the past.
But here's my point. You still, again, because you can justify taking an offensive lineman or receiver, you try. And you go, we got you a receiver that you might have liked. You're an offensive lineman because we don't know if Bakhtiari is going to be healthy. And we lost Corey Lindsley. Don't take another defensive back and then go, we're going to try to do everything we can.
We're going to be talking Packers more later in the show.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Last night, Alabama had 6 players selected in the first round, tying Miami in 2004 for the most first-round selections by a school in NFL draft history. 5 of Bama's players came on the offensive side of the ball, the most offensive players a school has had in the first round of a single draft. And if you watch Alabama's offense, won the national championship, kind of makes sense. Let's get some team goals brought to you by NerdWallet. For that, we bring in ESPN NFL draft analyst Matt Miller back with us. The Dolphins, Matt, took one of those Alabama players last night, Jaylen Waddle. What do you expect them to be looking for in round 2 tonight?
Yeah, Laura, I think a lot of fans would say running back early, but I'm looking at the linebackers who are still on the board. Let's continue to fill out this defense for Brian Flores. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame is an eraser on defense, a chess piece in coverage. He can play that nickel linebacker spot. He can play the robber role. Also, Nick Bolton from Missouri. If they wanted to go to more of a classic weak side linebacker who can run sideline to sideline, he absolutely fits with what they're doing in this scheme down in Miami. We've got a couple other teams that actually didn't make a pick last night. The Seattle Seahawks, we know they need edge rush help. Joseph Osai from Texas, playing the Jack linebacker position for the first time last year, was one of the best defensive players in the Big 12. He was finishing games with sacks. He is a big-time playmaker who's just scratching the surface of how good he can be. The Seahawks love upside. Osai has a ton of it on defense. And then the LA Rams sitting in their beach house in Malibu instead of here in windy Cleveland. They have to rebuild this offensive line eventually. Landon Dickerson, the center from Alabama, the Ribbington Award winner, transfers to Florida State, goes to Alabama, becomes a team captain. He tore his ACL in the SEC championship game. As soon as he's back on the field, Dickerson has the talent to be a top 5 center in the NFL.
Yeah, Dickerson allowed 0 sacks on over 750 pass blocking snaps at Alabama. Coming up later in the show, we'll have Matt talking some second-tier quarterbacks, some quarterbacks we could see go off the board tonight, so stay tuned for that for sure. Let's get to the Jaguars, who have made it known that their intention is to build around Trevor Lawrence, their new franchise quarterback, and they kept that Clemson bond going, drafting Tigers running back Travis Etienne. Trevor tweeted, "Me and my guy are ready to go to work. Man, this is amazing." Jags have a couple more picks tonight. Let's get back to that Etienne pick, though. Mina, Najee Harris taken off the board to the Steelers before Travis Etienne, which you guys liked because you thought Najee was slightly the better prospect. What do you think about Etienne going to the Jaguars and then picking him there?
I hate to always be the don't draft the running back in the first round person, but it's often the case, and it's particularly the case here because the Jaguars already have a good running back. NFL teams are such pedigree snobs. James Robinson was undrafted. And then he comes into the league. He finishes fifth in rushing yards. He's awesome. You don't need to go out and spend a premium draft pick on a position you've already got covered, especially when there's other positions you could have targeted. Safety, offensive tackle, wide receiver. Mel talked about Elijah Moore earlier. And look, the Jags are picking at the beginning of the second round today. So they could go out and get a Tevin Jenkins or a Trayvon Merrick would be a phenomenal pick for them. Yeah. But if they didn't spend this pick, they could address both of those positions, which is why I don't like it, just because I think it's unnecessary at that value.
Yeah, people have different tastes in food. I love it. I love the pick. and I love the pick because, you think about guys, I don't think Etienne is your traditional back. And when you talk about guys, when you want to expand your offense and give Trevor Lawrence an outlet that he's used to, I think Etienne fits that mold. It's different tiers, right? And I'm by no means saying he'll be an Alvin Kamara or a Christian McCaffrey, but he was used that way in Clemson. He was used. He split out. He ran some stuff from the slot. They used him in a lot of the misdirection plays, and he's a home run hitter, something that I don't think Robinson is. Robinson is a bowling ball. I like the new idea of the backfield in the NFL, too, as well. You don't think these folks in Cleveland love the setup that they got?
Yeah.
So hopefully, I think that's what Urban Meyer was thinking with this draft pick. You, like, I'm with y'all. Every draft pick is up for interpretation. Every draft pick is to your liking or what you think a team should do. But dynamic playmakers are few and far in between, and I think Travis Etienne will become one of those guys.
A little bit of thunder-lightning thing going on, right?
But not every draft pick shows me that you understand draft value, and then not every draft pick makes sense in today's modern NFL. I'm not totally against taking a back in the first round if you believe that special back is a difference maker in a championship football team. That's not Jacksonville. Robinson's a great point. That's what every NFL team wants, an undrafted back.
Yes.
That is a really good player. I mean, it's like having a really good rookie quarterback, okay? I heard Urban Meyer say this morning, that Robinson and Carlos Hyde were going to be their 1-2, and Travis Etienne was going to be their third down back.
What?
And that legit blew my mind.
Oh.
First of all, third down backs in the NFL nowadays are pass blockers, not pass catchers. The pass catchers that were third down backs 15 years ago, Kevin Falk, those guys are used on first down now. Alvin Kamara. So you're telling me that the second pick you've ever had in this new regime, a first-round pick, is going to be a third-down pass-protecting block for you?
Oh, you could just say he lied. You took him 25th. He the starter. Listen, Travis Etienne is going to be the starter.
So everybody's a liar in the
NFL. Okay, but you got a good starter. His name is James Robinson. That's my quibble with
it. Exactly.
And I just want to address one more thing. Marcus, you're right about Etienne's pass-catching ability. It is what makes him unique. But you know who else was available? Elijah Moore, the best slot receiver in the draft.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, will get you approximately like 3 to 5 more attempts.
But didn't you and Dan tell me about the RPO that you want to see with Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, that's why you don't need an elite back for it.
Elijah Moore.
Either way, the Jags are on the clock, so we'll see who they end up taking as begin round two tonight. It's on ESPN at 7 and ABC.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's getting beautiful here in Cleveland. What a great host for the 2021 NFL Draft in the shadow of First Energy Stadium, the home of the Cleveland Browns, the Browns fans, some of the best fans you'll find in the National Football League. And Brownie the Elf is out here ready to go. We're going to have to go get our picture taken with Brownie the Elf, I think, after the show. We'll see if he's still out there. Either way, just as expected, 5 quarterbacks came off the board last night with Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson going first and second overall. After that, things got interesting as the 49ers selected Trey Lance. The Bears traded up to 11 for Justin Fields. Mac Jones fell to the Patriots at pick 15. It marked just the second time in the common draft era that 5 quarterbacks were selected in the first 15 picks. Let's get Adam Schefter back in here. And Adam, lots of QB moves tonight. Walk us through how it all went down, starting with Trey Lance at number 3 to the 49ers.
Well, Laura, here's how secretive the 49ers kept their plans. Their scouts and coaches didn't find out that Trey Lance was the pick until it was actually announced last night. The 49ers decision makers did not share their selection with the rest of the room, and they found out along with everybody else. But the 49ers loved his aptitude. His psychological testing was off the charts. They considered him the smartest quarterback in this draft. And I know people think Mac Jones is ready to play soon. They think Trey Lance is. The Chicago Bears were trying all night to trade up once Justin Fields fell down. They tried to trade up to the Philadelphia Eagles slot. They finally traded up to the New York Giants slot. They gave up a one next year, but the Bears have hope for the future, and they have a quarterback that many consider to be one of the two or three best players in this draft. Chicago gets its man. And just like the Bears got their quarterback, Mac Jones fell down the draft board all the way to number 15. And on a night when many thought he would wind up going number 3 to San Francisco, he went to a spot that actually welcomed him and embraced him, because in San Francisco, fans were not thrilled with the idea of the 49ers using all that draft capital to trade up to take Mac Jones. In New England, that's not an issue, Laura.
Yeah, it's not. And Mac Jones, Adam, was the last of the big five quarterbacks selected in the first round. The Patriots hoping they get the last laugh. And last season, Jones posted the highest single-season total QBR we've seen since the metric was first introduced, surpassing the previous two number one overall picks in Joe Burrow and Kyler Murray. He's pretty stinking good. Belichick was asked about his QB room last night.
Cam's our quarterback, whatever position, whatever time Jared or Mac, ready to, challenge and compete, then we'll see how that goes. But right now, for Mac, he's just got a lot of learning in front of him, and I know he's very anxious to get going on it and get started.
Well, I didn't expect Bill Belichick to be like, oh yeah, Mac Jones is our starter right here and now. Mac, by the way, said that he wanted to go to the Patriots all along. Dan, what did you think about this pick for New England?
I think it's the best pick of the draft last night because it's the perfect place for a player to go and excel. Now, New England is famous as an organization for saying, don't tell me what a player can't do, tell me what a player can do. And I think they looked at it and said, this kid's really good with the ball, tempo, trajectory, anticipation, ball placement, movement in the pocket, super smart, can control the line of scrimmage. And so while a lot of people talked about the lack of athleticism, again, that's fair, Bill Belichick and the Patriots said, no, there's a lot that this guy can do. Now, the second thing is this. Everyone always says the best thing that you can give a rookie quarterback is a run game. No, it's not. The best thing you can give a rookie quarterback is protection. And this is a top five offensive line in the NFL in New England. So Mac Jones can step in and play right away, which he should, and he's going to be protected. New England has transitioned very much so to a play-action passing offense, right? It's second most play-action passes in the NFL last year. Mac Jones, shout out to Teach Me How to Buggy. He gave me this stat last year. Matt, you like that.
I like
Mac
that.
Mac Jones last year in college football, 23 like touchdowns, no interceptions on play-action passes, okay? Yeah. So we're talking about a player that excels in something, an organization that's transitioning to something with the people to do it. I think he's the starter from day one because New England wants to play their best football in December. He needs to get his reps in September.
I mean, match made in heaven because they prepared a place for him. Right? Like, you think about the moves that were made this offseason, it was comfortability for a rookie. When you got two tight ends that serve as outlets,
right,
when you have a run game that's going to be pressed upon, people forget Josh McDaniels still loves to run the football. The last time we saw the New England Patriots go to the Super Bowl, they ran the ball down the Kansas City Chiefs' throat.
Yeah.
That's what they did. So he's not going to be removed from anything he just finished doing at the University of Alabama. Yeah, these receivers, I would take over Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne, but I don't think Aguilar and Kendrick Bourne is two guys you just throw out there. I think they make plays. Aguilar reasserted himself in Las Vegas, was a home run threat. That's what Mac Jones dealt with Devontae Smith in Alabama. You got Kendrick Bourne, who's a guy that route running is something that people talk about he does a good job at. And the timing and all of these things that are reserved for Mac Jones seems like it's a great fit. Not to mention, okay, let's take a second and think about the New England Patriots. They got their opt-outs back.
Yeah.
This
their
is a really
is
good football
so
team.
Better,
like we got crazy about talking about New England because of the lack of weapons. Now this football team is complete, and they are back full strength.
Ryan.
Well, I think the good part about this is we get to start talking about Mac Jones outside of the number 3 overall pick.
Yeah.
And so all of the LSU guys hate Alabama guys. Nobody likes Mac Jones. We're done with that, right? Because we're not talking about him from that prism.
No.
We're thinking about being picked in the place you're supposed to at 15 to the best place that fits you. And what this looks like to me in New England is we're going back to what's familiar. We're going back to what's comfortable. When you think about the opt-outs defensively coming back, some of the auxiliary pieces you add and adding Mills, Judon, that's the type of defense we're used to seeing. And now, they didn't go out and make the splashy plays in free agency offensively when you get Aguilar and you get Bourne, and now you get Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry. What you did was add a lot of pieces. And then you got a quarterback who is intelligent, who understands how to distribute the ball, whether it's Devontae Smith, Michie, Jalen Waddle, Najee Harris. He's used to having different outlets and figuring out what's the best matchup. That's what Mac Jones will get to do in New England when it's his time to play. This is familiar to Josh McDaniels. This is familiar to Bill Belichick. And honestly, it's going to be extremely familiar to Mac Jones as well.
Yeah, that's interesting. You bring up the way that Mac Jones distributed the football in Alabama's offense with all those weapons. You know, one of the things we've talked about Baker Mayfield is that maybe he gets a little stuck on somebody like Odell Beckham Jr. in their offense. How nice is it for Mac Jones? And he's already got that skill set where he can just distribute the ball quickly and accurately to no matter who it is in their offense.
It's a fantastic point, because that was something that was getting said a lot with his tie to San Francisco. Kyle just wants really a quarterback to distribute the football. It's important for everybody to understand that New England is building their offense not around the quarterback.
Yes.
I said this in February, that they're not going to ask their quarterback to do much. They are going to build this offense around this dominant offensive line, this run game, and these two tight ends. So, Laura, to your point, RC, to your point, and Big Fella, to you, like, he's just going to be asked, own the line of scrimmage, do the right thing with the football. Now, that is easier said than done. I don't want to minimize it, but own the line of scrimmage, do the right thing with the football. It is a little bit of a throwback. Mm-hmm. They are going to play smash mouth throwback
football.
And to
your point, like, think about psychologically what that did for Mac Jones. He went up and told Roger Goodell, this is what I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we lamented.
I never was
sold on the third. Yeah. Let's get beyond that. This is the pick for Mac Jones.
Know thyself.
This is when everybody in the stadium is going to say, well, you know, he having a hard time right now, but we took him 15. Right. Let's get a kid some time. Yeah. At three, you don't get that.
Right.
He would not get that in San Francisco. Mm-hmm.
And we talk so much about the football side of this, but let's talk about the human side for just a minute, because Mac Jones arriving in Foxborough today, being able to get the experience with his jersey, with the Patriots. You see, of course, Robert Kraft there with him, as the Kraft family now has Mac Jones as their quarterback. That's a winning smile. Looks like he's pretty happy to be there. Now, listen, if you've been watching our show, you know we've loved cornerback J.C. Horn out of South Carolina, valued him as the best corner available. Apparently, the Panthers agreed, taking the former South Carolina defender at 8, which did shock some, but that's one side of it. The other side is both Justin Fields and Mac Jones were still available at 8, so the Panthers putting their faith in Sam Darnold by not taking a quarterback. Adam, tons of news to get to as you welcome Adam Schefter back in. Starting in Carolina, they made a decision at quarterback today. What was it?
Well, Laura, last night they considered Justin Fields, ultimately decided to pass on that, and today they officially picked up the fifth-year option on quarterback Sam Darnold, who they recently traded for. Notice that they picked up the option officially today. Not yesterday when they picked up DJ Moore's, but today after the first round had come and gone. So that's that much more of a commitment to Sam Darnold, the newly acquired quarterback. And oh, by the way, the Baltimore Ravens officially picked up the fifth-year option on Lamar Jackson as well. Meanwhile, the Los Angeles Rams last night used the 25th overall pick on Jalen Ramsey. Pretty good pick at 25, right? The Jaguars took that pick and acquired Travis Etienne last night, the running back from Clemson. And so the Jaguars now have their two first-round picks completed, and the Rams are very happy with their haul in that trade. And there is Les Snead, the Rams general manager, who tested positive for COVID yesterday, can't be in the Rams war room this weekend. His wife tweeted this out a short time ago. He's up, he's moving, he's doing well, he's already on the phone getting intel. Pretty sure he's built a draft fort. Go Rams, and we hope that Les Snead gets well soon and gets back to the Rams' Malibu beach house on the ocean, that tough war room that the Rams have set up, where the weather is a little bit different than it is here in Cleveland, Laura.
Sending our best to Les Snead and his family, certainly. And you know, listen, though, I think, like, if we sent a picture of us here to those guys in Malibu, they'd be like, oh, it's sunny, it's beautiful. And it has been sunny and beautiful here in Cleveland. More of Adam Schefter coming a little later on.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Bateman.
So happy.
You know, you made me be part of the Bateman. I wasn't even on there.
You're
I like him. I wasn't like part of his fan club until Mina made me do it. She's been saying it for weeks. Your dream came true. Bateman to the Ravens. You spoke it into existence.
So happy for you.
you
Let's get into some quick reads from last night, guys. Mina, give me your best fit from round one.
Okay. The dream came true for Justin Herbert and the Los Angeles Chargers because everyone said, we've been saying for a really long time, the two best offensive tackles in this class are Penei Sewell and Rashawn Slater out of Northwestern. Then there's a drop-off. I didn't think Slater would last to 13 for LA, but the way the draft shook out, he fell into their laps. This was such an obvious need for them, and they filled it with the best player available. Tremendous pick.
I love Michael Parsons to the Dallas Cowboys. Listen, I know Marcus is happy. That's why I got these colors on. He fell to them because J.C. Horn was gone. Patrick Surtain was gone. They got to trade back and get the best defensive player in this draft. And I'm going to let you know, Leighton Vander Esch and Jalen Smith, they are not Michael Parsons. This is an upgrade.
That is the absolute truth. I'm going J.C. Horn to the Carolina Panthers, and I know left tackle could have been a spot. I'm looking at macro instead of micro. Do you know what damn division they play in? The NFC South. Do you see what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just did? Do you know what this New Orleans Saints offense may look like? You better have some corners that can cover. I love what they did with Chin as a rookie last year, Dante Jackson on the opposite side. Yeah. And now you bring in a cornerback that you think can lock down one side of the field against those aminals. In the
aminals.
NFC South.
Aminals.
When you say aminals, we know it's real. Listen,
you know
I
it's
know,
real.
Mina, that you don't like love to rain on the big man's parade, but let's go the other way here. Let's go the other way. Mina, a pick you didn't love.
I didn't love the horn pick. I loved it. Or if he's going to be mad at me, too. Okay. I want to be clear. I love the player. Incredible talent, physical, fast. However, I don't understand. First of all, I thought they should have taken Justin Fields, but setting that aside, I don't understand the fit. J.C. Horn is a press man corner. The Carolina Panthers played the least amount of man coverage in the NFL last year, just 30% of the time. So unless they're planning on changing it up, it doesn't really make sense to me.
For me, it's the Bengals. They went out and they chased the sizzle. Why not get Penei Sewell? Protect Joe Burrow. I love Ja'Marr Chase. He is going to be a star. But your quarterback may not be a star if he can't finish seasons. They should have got Penei Sewell.
Man, listen, for the life of me, I didn't understand the Las Vegas Raiders taking Alex Leatherwood. And it's not because Alex Leatherwood won't be a good offensive lineman. I always think in context, could you get this guy later? Yes. It's a deep offensive line draft. And do you remember what the hell the Las Vegas Raiders look like trying to defend people downfield this year?
Defense.
They could have went after somebody that would stop somebody. This was a team that was fine offensively. They did a phenomenal job. Look, the Las Vegas Raiders and Derek Carr did a tremendous job offensively.
Yes.
That's the reality. Defensively, couldn't stop nothing.
Well, I mean,
and you go offensive
line. But the one thing is, guys, they did get rid of a lot of their offensive line.
Absolutely.
So I'm with you there. I mean, the other thing
this
too,
is true.
Mel Kiper Jr. Guys, Mel Kiper reminded us earlier that the Raiders do this every year, so it's like always a big surprise.
True.
All right, so much of round one was about the top five quarterbacks, and sure enough, they were all off the board early. Trevor Lawrence to the Jags, Zach Wilson to the Jets, Trey Lance to the 49ers. The Bears traded up for Justin Fields. The Pats had Mac Jones fall right into their lap at 15. So now, how about the quarterbacks left for rounds two and three tonight? ESPN draft analyst Matt Miller back with us and Dan Orlovsky. Matt, we start with you. Who's the best available quarterback on your board?
Yeah, there's three available that we should see go early tonight. But let's start with Kyle Trask, the quarterback from Florida. 43 touchdowns last year. He was a Heisman contender. His two receivers, Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney, went last night. I'm a big believer in Kyle Trask. No, he's not perfect. He's more mobile and athletic than he's been given credit for. He's accurate. His field vision is very advanced. And what does Dan Mullen do? He prepares quarterbacks for the NFL. Remember, he's had Dak Prescott. He knows how to get quarterbacks ready for Sundays. Dan, I think that Kyle Trask looks like an NFL starter. Maybe not high level, but he looks like a mid-level NFL starter to me.
Yeah, I like Kyle Trask. I would choose Davis Mills because I think he's worth taking a flyer on. The knock against him, lack of reps, really. But two things he does really well is recognition and then throws a really catchable football. I love the ability to see the coverage change at the snap and then throw the right throw. People have heard me say that. Make the right throw at the right time. So Davis Mills has got talent. He just doesn't have a lot of reps. I think he's worth taking a flyer on early in the second round.
Matt, Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point by Dan. And I think that Davis Mills is someone that the New Orleans Saints should take a look at.
Yeah.
The Denver Broncos should take a look at. Yeah. Drew Locke is not the guy there. We've seen that by the trade for Teddy Bridgewater. The Washington football team, they didn't take a quarterback last night. Yeah. Or even the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady might play until Dan and I can't do this job anymore. But they have to eventually think about another quarterback there. So Davis Mills is the most intriguing. Atlanta's another one. You're right. Davis Mills, 11 starts. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
He was a five-star recruit out of high school for a reason. He's 6'4", 220 pounds. He has a strong arm. And I think he's more athletic than a lot of people realize.
Yeah, Mills was ESPN's second-ranked pocket passer. But as we've said, the injuries derailed high expectations coming out of high school. Let's get into some team goals brought to you by NerdWallet. And to do that, we check in with our great reporters across the country. Jeff Darlington, Mike Reese, Sal Palantonio, and Ed Werder are ready to roll. So, Jeff, I'll start with you. The Aaron Rodgers story dominated the league and the lead up to the draft last night. What was the reaction to the Packers taking cornerback Eric Stokes and not a weapon for Rodgers?
Well, Laura, I mean, all of the drama with Aaron Rodgers, and all of us wondered, of course, going into the first round with that first round pick, if the Packers would do something that would feel like maybe it would placate Aaron Rodgers. And then they do what they have always done literally for just about the past 9 years. They go defense. This is a team that has picked defense every draft in the first round for 9 years, except for one when they picked Jordan Love. So, of course, there were certainly some people who were surprised by this, even those within the Packers organization. But it's still a player that they feel like will be beneficial with the speed of Eric Stokes. They go into today with two picks at 62 and 92. Perhaps they will address the wide receiver position on this day, Laura.
Yeah, Ryan Clark, I'm coming to you on this. What message did the Packers send to Aaron Rodgers with this pick last night?
Well, what the Packers are saying to Aaron Rodgers is that picking people you want us to pick is not part of our love languages. This is not how we're going to show you that we love you. And listen, I got to train Eric Stokes this offseason for his pro day. And we're talking about a guy that can learn, he works his butt off, and he is a physical freak. And if you go back to the NFC Championship and you watch it, they didn't lose that game because Aaron Rodgers couldn't play. They lost that game because Kevin King couldn't play, and they wanted to fix that. And now, they also know this is personal. It ain't business. Business not going to fix this with Aaron Rodgers. Drafting the right way, contract talks, that's not going to fix it. This is a personal issue. And so they say, let's draft a team that can win no matter who our quarterback is, and Eric Stokes was part of that evaluation.
Let's get to Mike Reese next, our Patriots reporter, Mac Jones. Mike was still there for the Pats at number 15. What's been the reaction to Mac Jones in Foxborough?
Well, Laura, coming down to windy Gillette Stadium today to see Mac Jones on his arrival here at Gillette Stadium. And you know the great Sal Palantonio is following you up. You better come with your best prop.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the Boston Herald. It's Mac to the future. Here
like
for the
it.
Patriots.
I like that.
It was a good scene. About 2 hours ago, Mac Jones comes out to midfield with the owners Robert Kraft and Jonathan Kraft, and he actually noted it. He said, "Whoa, it's windy here. I better get used to this." He said it reminded him when he was out on the beach when he was younger, he would take the football and he would throw it around. And I want to leave you with one thing. Why tonight is important for the Patriots. They pick Mac Jones at 15. You know, that means they're not in on the second-tier quarterbacks like Davis Mills. They can go in a lot of different directions tonight.
Yeah, it's a really good point. Listen, the wind in Bryant-Denny Stadium in Tuscaloosa, a little different there than Gillette. Mina, what do you think about the fit of Mac Jones in New England?
Oh, man, I absolutely love it. It was reported that Mac Jones told Roger Goodell, I wanted to go here all along, and I don't blame him because it's such a good fit for him. In particular, I thought with Mac Jones, he needed to play behind a good offensive line. That's exactly what he's got in New England. Of course, they went out, got him some weapons in the offseason, not knowing it was necessarily going to be him, but they got the two tight ends, so I think the offense is going to look a little bit more like it did during the mid-2000s. I still think they could grab another wide receiver to add to that group for Mac, but I just think this couldn't be a better landing spot for the young quarterback to learn and develop.
Let's check in on the Jets, who revamped their offense last night. Sal Palantonio, they got Zach Wilson, and that was a foregone conclusion, but what are the Jets trying to achieve with their two first-round picks from last night? And I've got to see if you got some props, because, you know, Mike Reese is coming with the props. You're following him up. You got to bring something.
Let me tell you something, Laura. If I was starting ESPN from scratch, Mike Reese would be my first round pick, and I would go up in the first round to take Mike Reese. That's how much I really respect what Mike Reese does out there in Foxborough. Let me tell you that. But you know, I agree with Dan Orlovsky. What the Jets did in the first round, they get the star power quarterback. They needed it so badly. Get some juice into an offense that was absolutely unwatchable last year, and a guy who can really run Mike LaFleur's offense. RPOs, play action, stretch run, make plays off schedule, outside the pocket, very accurate on the run. Then they make the bold move. Now, it was an expensive move, 2 third-round picks. Go from 23 to 14, identify a guard, Elijah Vera Tucker from USC, and now they've got the building blocks on offense. Because if we learned anything from Super Bowl 55, and I remember talking to Dan Orlovsky about this, you gotta protect the quarterback. The Bucks protected Brady and won. The Chiefs did not protect Patrick Mahomes and lost. In the NFL in 2021, you must protect the young quarterback.
Dan loves it, Sal. And Dan, what do you think about what the Jets did with their two?
That's my love language. Well, Sal Pell, since we're doing draft comps, then you would be Peyton Manning, arguably the best first-round pick, number one overall pick ever. I think two things. Learn from your history. Learn from your past mistakes if you're the Jets. They're doing for Zach Wilson what they never did for Sam Darnold, and that's building a wall in front of him. That's realizing that the young quarterbacks, you got to keep them upright and give them a chance to play well. And then the second thing is, don't ask the young quarterback to carry you. That's what you do when you get Elijah Vera Tucker. You're saying, we're going to carry you. You don't have to carry us. And that's why I love the fact that they got the young, talented quarterback, and then they decided, nope, we're going to make sure that no one gets near you. We're going to make sure that you get to play from clean pockets, and that is going to allow your talent to shine. So our number one overall pick, Sal Pal, hit it out of the park. Protect your young quarterbacks.
Let's get another number one overall pick, and Ed Werder, the Cowboys. And it seems like Jerry did the sensible thing last night. We didn't know exactly what he was going to do, but he traded down, still getting one of the top defensive prospects. How did that go over in Dallas, getting Micah Parsons?
Sensible, not always a term dedicated to Jerry Jones as general manager, but Jerry Jones says that linebacker Micah Parsons was the number one defensive player on the Cowboys draft board, and that might be true, but my sense is that they had similar grades on cornerbacks J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain and coveted them even more. With the Cowboys, when the grades are close, then need prevails in the final decision. So, as it is, the Cowboys still need cornerbacks. But based on my interactions today with defensive coordinators and general managers around the league, picking Parsons 12th overall is totally justified. Mike McCarthy said Parsons will be to the Cowboys what Bobby Wagner was to Dan Quinn's defenses in Seattle. And amazingly enough, nobody whose opinion I solicited today disputed that. You know, tonight's an important night for the Cowboys. They made it more so with the third-round pick they received from the Eagles to move down two spots last night. The Eagles got Devonta Smith. The Cowboys got Parsons and a player that they'll draft later tonight. In all, Laura, the Cowboys now have 4 picks scheduled, matching the Vikings for the most in the league tonight.
Yeah, they've got a lot of opportunity to continue to get better. Thanks, Ed. Marcus, did you like the trade to grab Micah Parsons?
I love the trade. And look, all this fake love going on, me and Ed Werder have, we got real love. I've been knowing Ed.
This was fake.
And he was my first line to ESPN.
Why does he gotta be on fake?
So, Ed, I got us. Don't worry about them, Ed. I got us. All that fake love going on.
Stop.
We got real love. Here's the bottom line. I thought it was phenomenal that they got him. Obviously, the corner was the pick. That was going to be the situation. Dallas saw how that played out. They traded back, got more in this draft, and got the best player in the draft on defense. And linebacker became a need. Look, Leighton Vander Esch has been injured, who had a great rookie year. Jalen Smith had a great 2018, and obviously Sean Lee retiring. And now you go get a guy with a skill set better than all three of those guys. So when I think about this pick and we talk about and how we lamented about the Cowboys' defense, this is a guy that can change how you're viewed from a defensive perspective, similar to Devin White, bigger and same type of speed. Micah Parsons is going to be a star in this league.
Mm-hmm. And that speed is scary. Hey, that was a whole squad up that we just did there.
Yeah,
thanks
that was a
everybody
squad up.
Drafting all y'all in the first round, and it's not fake. Mel Kiper Jr., Todd McShay, and NFL Network's Daniel Jeremina here with us. Guys, that has to be devastating. Mel, Belichick doesn't follow your mock drafts. What are we going to do?
Not buying it, Laura.
DJ, what do you got?
I'm okay with that. I don't know if I follow it either.
Todd, you're really mad about this, right?
7 for 7 to start it off. I mean, he was
Todd,
missing.
Todd, you're
out.
On fire, woo! Man. Way
Let's
to go,
go,
buddy.
Todd. Yeah, pat yourself on the back. You earned it. Let's. Right. There you go. Thanks. All right. Let's get into some drama from last night, and we start with you, Todd. The best first-round pick for you.
I love the Jets moving back up and going to get Elijah Vera Tucker from USC. And the reason I say that, and I know it's not a sexy pick, you're going up to get a tackle in college who's going to be your guard. But you're protecting your investment and doing for Zach Wilson what was not done for Sam Darnold for so many years with the Jets. I think protecting him in the inside and making sure that he has the time that he needs in terms of extending plays and moving inside the pocket, that's the guy they wanted. They targeted him, and they went up and got him.
Todd, I wasn't 7 for 7, but I had the Jets trading up for Elijah Vera Tucker in Mach 5.0, so I'll brag about that.
I'll leave that alone, Kite.
I know you will, pal. And I'm going to go with Rashawn Slater to the L.A. Chargers at 12. We had been mocking him all along to the Chargers. And for Justin Herbert, when you watch Justin Herbert, he was phenomenal, but he got hit way, way too much. Rashawn Slater opted out this past year, but in 2019, he was an incredible left tackle, had experience at right tackle, but in this offense, at left tackle position, Daniel Jeremiah will be protected very well for Justin Herbert by Rashawn Slater moving forward.
Yeah, Mel, calling those games for the last couple years. The offensive line has not been great. Justin Herbert covered up a lot of that last year with his athleticism, but I'm with you. I thought the Chargers there at 13, getting Rashawn Slater, who to me was the best left tackle in this draft. I know Penei Sewell had a lot of fans out there, but I like Slater better. He's plug and play. He fits this offensive system that they're installing, and Justin Herbert and him are going to be together for a very, very long time.
I love it, guys. Let's do this. In the quarterbacks that were taken, take out Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson, because we know that's a no-brainer. They're starting week one. What other quarterback of the rest of them left should start week one? Todd, you first.
I'm going to go with number 3, Trey Lance, to San Francisco. And I know everyone's saying Jimmy Garoppolo, and he could be the starter, but Lance has 17 starts at the FCS level. I think you just need to throw him in there and let him play. He's competitive. He's built like a tight end. I know he's got to improve in terms of his footwork in order to improve his ball placement, but this guy has the competitive edge and the mindset. He has great football intelligence. I think Lance can step in and be a starter week one. He may struggle a little bit, but I think they'll develop, and that's why Kyle Shanahan, I think, changed his mind and went with Lance.
It's the NFC North changing a quarterback a little bit with Aaron Rodgers' situation in Green Bay. You think about what's happening with the Chicago Bears now and Justin Fields, a talented quarterback. Now Matt Nagy's challenge, everybody's discussed, is making him comfortable and allowing all that talent, all that athleticism to be that dual-threat quarterback, to really basically challenge that defense, really stress that defense. Even in the NFL, he's capable of doing that. And I think for Justin Fields, he loves people doubting him. He loves to come in with a chip, and he will, because there are a lot of doubters and haters surrounding Justin Fields going into this draft, DJ.
Yeah, I think there's a chance he does get on the field right away. I know one thing, that Bears offense has been so boring to watch. Those days are over. It's going to be fun to watch him with Justin Fields out there. But I'm going to echo what Todd said, because to me, Trey Lance, you can put a young quarterback out there if he's mentally and physically tough. In other words, he's going to be able to handle the beating out there. He's going to be able to handle the ups and downs, the roller coaster ride, because he's so mentally mature. And I think he's going to be able to swallow this playbook from Kyle Shanahan. I don't want the Niners are going to have the best rushing offense in the National Football League next year, because they're playing 11 on 11. You're going to have to account for Trey Lance. And guys, I'll tell you, Joel Klatt just came down here. He's way too excited, despite the fact the Big 12 did not have a single player drafted last night. He's way too giddy.
Oh, burn for the Big 12 there, DJ. All right. Hey, listen, here's the thing, guys. We're getting closer and closer to the beginning of the second round. Of course, all the coverage you need on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network with DJ and his team. Give me, Todd, a second round player that you love.
Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. And I can't figure out why the linebacker from Notre Dame is still on the board. I've asked some general managers, and I have not gotten an answer about character or injury. So it's shocking to me. I thought he was one of the best 20 players in this draft. He's fit perfectly for today's NFL. You can play him in that overhang spot. He's kind of like a strong safety that can play linebacker. I think he's going to be a steal, and I think a team could move up to go get this guy early in round two.
Yeah, Todd, I've said this kid's name 17 times. Laura got the 17th about an hour ago, and I'm going to be probably at 18, 19 pretty soon. But he's going to go early second round. It's Elijah Moore from Ole Miss. All he does is catch the short passes and take them into 20-plus yard gains. He's a punt returner. He's dynamic. He is a tremendous football player. Somebody's going to get this kid early second round and have one of the steals of the NFL draft. He was 16, DJ, on my big board, and he's available in round two. That shouldn't happen, but sometimes it does when players are overlooked and underrated, and Elijah Moore comes into the NFL as a guy that I think will be perfect for the way the game is played. With the short passes, the bubble screens, he will make things happen.
Yeah, he's a great player. For me, I've got Owusu-Koramoah as my top available player. Elijah Moore is my fourth available player. I'll throw one that's in the middle there, and that's Javonte Williams, the running back from North Carolina. I think we all felt like there were three big-time backs in this draft. We saw two of them go in the first round. He's still hanging out there. But when you look at the draft order, guys, in the second round with the Jets, the Falcons, and the Miami Dolphins coming up, all needing a back, it's going to be a very short night for Javonte Williams.
Hey, listen, guys, unlike Bill Belichick, I read all of your mock drafts, so that might be just a huge nerd alert on me. But either way, we appreciate all three of you so much. Good luck tonight. Can't wait to watch everything. And thanks so much for being with us. Todd McShay, Mel Kiper Jr., and Daniel Jeremiah from NFL Network. How about this? Patrick Surtain took the stage last night there, and he was picked by the Broncos. They, of course, chose to go defense, and the cornerback told me yesterday he'll be the best defensive player in this draft due to his versatility. Have you seen what he can do on special teams? It was a special night for his dad, too, who's already lived this dream. But the Broncos are a really interesting team. Let's bring back Adam Schefter for more on this. Adam, the Broncos did not take a quarterback, which a lot of us thought was a big need. Why?
Well, they considered Justin Fields. In fact, Laura, they did a lot of work into Justin Fields and the medication that he used for his epilepsy and how it would fare at altitude. They wanted to see if there would be any kind of reaction. I know it was under consideration, but they also traded for Teddy Bridgewater during the course of the week. So they have Drew Lock, they have Teddy Bridgewater, and all that speculation out there about whether Denver could make a run at Aaron Rodgers. We'll see whether they do. Again, the Packers have been adamant that they're not going to trade Aaron Rodgers. We'll see if anything comes of that. But the Broncos felt like there was a cornerback on the board at a time when they have Kyle Fuller and Bryce Callahan, two cornerbacks on their roster that are scheduled to be on expiring contracts. They felt like Pat Surtain was too good to pass up.
Yeah, it's really interesting because if you think about a team that's going to get Aaron Rodgers, Adam, if it's possible, they'd have to have a whole ton of capital to give up. The Broncos could be that team. Thanks so much, Adam Schefter here, of course, on all the coverage for the draft throughout the rest of the night. Mina, did the Broncos make a mistake not drafting Justin Fields or Mac Jones with the 9th pick last night because they were available? You keep saying they're a quarterback away from being a contender.
Well, whether or not they made a mistake depends on how realistic it is that they can get Aaron Rodgers. Because if it's not realistic, then yes, this was a huge mistake. If it is realistic, the Denver Broncos with Aaron Rodgers are Super Bowl contenders. Sorry, I wanted to pause because those words felt so weird coming out of my mouth, like saying Aaron Rodgers with another football team, but this team is good on offense. I mean, we talked about this nonstop. The playmakers they have on offense. On defense now, adding Surtain to the mix. That's one of the best secondaries in football with Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, and now Kyle Fuller, Bryce Callahan comes back in the slot. They are so good, and it would be such a shame to see that roster wasted. And I like Teddy Bridgewater. I think he's now the best quarterback they got on their football team. But they're not a Super Bowl contender with Teddy Bridgewater. Yeah. Aaron Rodgers changes the entire calculus of the AFC.
I don't think it was a mistake. Because I think if you draft a quarterback last night, you close the door. Like Aaron Rodgers and the potential to get Aaron Rodgers is then gone. And I think that the at least the opportunity to continue to have those conversations is more important than drafting a Justin Fields or a Mac Jones. The 5% chance that you might have to add Aaron Rodgers, and I don't know what the percentage is, but the 5% chance that you might have is better or more important to that football team than drafting a Mac Jones or Justin Fields. You guys know me. You hate when I say this. I don't have a plan B. Just figure out a different plan A. So if it didn't work last night for Denver and the conversations weren't enough, have more conversations. Have different conversations. Maybe you start throwing a player like Noah Fant into that, to Green Bay. Maybe Bradley Chubb becomes a part of the conversation. Second round pick tonight. So, like, I don't mind that they didn't do it because they didn't shut their doors. There is still the chance. And if Aaron Rodgers has made it known that he prefers to be on a West Coast or close to a West Coast team, Denver checks that box. Yeah. And so I don't mind them not taking that quarterback.
Well, Marcus, as Dan's talking, how much do you think some team's going to have to give up to try and make an offer that would be attractive for the Packers if they'd even start listening?
A whole lot else. And it's because of what we just watched San Francisco do. Yeah. Like, the value of getting up to number three was, what, two ones? Mm. You give up a player, and you also give up some more picks later on. We talk about Aaron Rodgers. Like, you're not guessing if he's going to be a guy. Like, even with San Francisco and all they gave up, they still taking a major risk. If you getting Aaron Rodgers, you ain't taking no risk. You just sending some frou-frou players over there for one of the best players to ever play the game at that position.
Oh, and look, man. This
is a part of the NFL now. Like, we are having this conversation because Aaron Rodgers said he wanted out. So now Denver is on the clock for real. Because really being on the clock is what move can we make to change our trajectory at winning the Super Bowl.
And you got to think, too, Denver, you're right. They are, if this is a bet that they're making and if they think they've got a 5% chance that it's worth it, more power to them, you got to wonder if San Francisco, reportedly a place Aaron Rodgers
can we go back
is
six
interested.
Weeks?
Yes, if they wish they could go back 6 weeks.
Right.
Keep those future first-round picks so that they're still in the mix. You got to wonder if the Los Angeles Rams, who traded for a very good quarterback, but again, another team that Aaron Rodgers was reportedly interested in, would they rather have Aaron Rodgers than Matt Stafford?
And I think the reality is if the Denver Broncos took Justin Fields last night, and then 3 weeks from now it becomes very apparent that Green Bay comes to a point like we're going to trade him, we would all be crushing Denver going, you should have waited.
Yeah, but if
you
they don't get anyone, I'm going to crush them so much harder.
Yeah. Right, but that's the risk, right? Like, you are not – going to play this safe and get Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Like, it don't matter what you do.
But it's a risk worth taking.
That's the, and I think that's the point, because the talent transcends and elevates what you got to be willing to give up. You're fine with it.
If the Packers would even listen, which team is the most aggressive to try and go get it? It's going to be fascinating to watch. It's been so much fun being here in Cleveland.
Yes,
we'll see you once again on Monday for NFL Live to recap everything that's happened with the NFL draft. That stage is primed and ready tonight for the next prospects to realize their dreams. Thanks to the fans, too.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.